David reminds us in Psalm 23 that we play for Team Jesus. And the mascot for Team Jesus is the sheep. And the coach of the team is the Good Shepherd. And he always leads us to victory. And so we want to talk about that some more in verse 5. David reminds us that the Lord is his shepherd. We shall not be in want. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the quiet waters. He restores our soul. He prepares a place of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear that which is evil, for he is with us. And his rod and his staff, they comfort us. And he prepares a table for us. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil, he says. My cup overflows. Because we are team members for Team Jesus, because he is the good shepherd, the coach, because we are his sheep, he anoints our heads with oil. Let's take a little deeper look at what that actually means this morning. Anointing in the Scripture is applied in two principles. The first is, it is applied by people to people. And it simply means that somebody prayerfully applies oil to skin or the head or an outward sign of what God is doing on the inside. When Israel was going to have a new king, the king would have his head anointed with oil. Not that the oil made him the king, but the outward appearance of that oil set him aside as the king. It was a setting apart. It was a setting aside. He will often use these external symbols as an internal process. Next Sunday, we're going to participate in the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is an external symbol of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, but it represents an internal transformation of the new covenant. Something we don't do enough around here is baptism. Baptism is an external symbol of being buried with Christ by baptism into death. And like Jesus was raised from the dead, you too are now raised in a new life. It is an outward symbol of an internal change. Oftentimes, the Scripture uses external anointing to represent internal change. The book of James says that if any one of you is sick, let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Oh, I wish I had a dollar for every time somebody misrepresented this passage. They believe the miracle is in the oil. They believe the miracle is in the person who is doing the anointing. I'm happy to report to you that the miracle is not in the oil. The miracle is not in the act. The miracle is in the faith of the God to whom the prayer is made. It is God who brings the miracle of healing. You don't have to look but one verse down to verse 15, and it says, such a prayer offered in faith will heal. It's not the anointing, it's not the oil, it's the prayer and the faith in whom the prayer is made. People spend thousands of dollars on oils and waters and cures and handkerchiefs because they believe that the miracle is in that. The miracle is in the God who hears the prayer. And the external anointing has to do with a representation of an internal change. But there is a second anointing. There is the anointing by people, but there is also the anointing by God. It is something that happens internally. When you and I receive the Holy Spirit, we receive an internal anointing. And you don't receive the Holy Spirit several times during the course of your life. When you accept Jesus Christ, you receive the presence of the Holy Spirit. That is what connects you to the living God. But when the Holy Spirit is in you, something supernatural can happen, some insight can rise up, some ability, some sense of stamina, some sense of authority, some sense of protection about something you don't know that benefits the kingdom of God will rise up inside of you. That is the internal anointing. When he has chosen you for something and chosen you to do something, he will give you an internal anointing to carry that out. You have an assignment. In addition to Jesus' commands of gathering, going, giving, and growing, or worshiping, evangelizing, ministering, and learning, you have a specific kingdom assignment. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says that we are His workmanship. So you have been designed and created by Him, for Him, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And these are the good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Are you walking in your anointing? Are you walking in the good works that have been prepared for you to walk in? Or are you simply enjoying the warm cozies of your spiritual religious family? People often wonder why they might miss the anointing, because the anointing requires effort. You don't get the Holy Spirit anointing so that you can sit. You cannot fulfill your calling the way God wants you to fulfill it in your own power. You just can't. I just can't. You need an anointing. The anointing and the power and the insight and the energy to serve the kingdom of God. Anointing is never about you. And if you hear a TV preacher talking about how God got them anointed and they got good stuff, you can almost guarantee that that's not a Holy Ghost anointing from the inside. If you hear somebody talk about how they got an anointing and they went out in blood, sweat, and tears and advanced the kingdom of God, you can almost bet that that is an anointing from the inside. So what does this anointing do? Well, first, God's anointing empowers my assignment. If I've been called to do things, if I have been created, and if I am His workmanship, created in advance to do good things, where's the energy, where's the intellect, where's the strength and the ingenuity going to come from in order for those things to happen? They come from the anointing of the Holy Spirit. If God calls you to do something, to mature you as a Christ follower and to impact the kingdom, He will empower you to take on that assignment. If He is leading you to lead your spouse better, you can't treat your spouse better in your own strength. You have to treat your spouse better as a result of His empowerment, and that's the assignment. If He is calling you to trust Him with your children or grandchildren, you need His power for that assignment. If He is calling you to get a handle on your finances, you can't do that in just will and strength and intellect alone. You need His anointing to help you do that. If He is calling you to the good work of teaching or tithing or serving or meeting your neighbors and developing relationships with them, if He is calling you to share the life-changing story of Jesus Christ with your co-workers or with your family members, if He is leading you to follow His teaching simply by spending time in the Word and deciding, I will do what this book tells me, you need the empowerment to carry out that assignment. That comes through the internal anointing of the Holy Spirit. If God calls you to do something to mature you as a Christ follower, to impact the kingdom of God, it should scare you to death. It really should. And it's okay to feel incompetent and incapable and inadequate. Matter of fact, I would almost say it's a prerequisite. Because if you get up in the morning and go, I got this, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do just what Jesus did, I'm going to take the world by storm, you're going to wind up in trouble. It is Christ working in you because you have decided to be a willing participant to make His kingdom a priority. David is on the battlefield at the king's table, and while he is there with the banner of God flying over him saying, underneath this banner is the one I love, while I'm here in the presence of his enemies, I'm also going to anoint him. And I'm going to give him the power and the energy and the strength to get up from the table and walk out from under the banner and to go back into the battlefield. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, you pray this way, Father, your kingdom, your will, right here, right now, through me. That's the Lord's Prayer in a nutshell. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 reminds us, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify. Sanctification means to make you holy through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. He will do it. Sometimes we get so frustrated and so discouraged that God may not be changing my life or the kingdom around me as fast as I want him to. And maybe it's because our eyes aren't open to see that he's doing all kinds of wonderful things. He's just not doing them the way we want them done. Or we're not getting the glory and the credit that we think we might ought to get. That negates the anointing. He told his disciples, he said, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Just before that, do you know where they were? They were hunkered down in a private room, scared to death, shivering, quaking, afraid that the soldiers were going to bust through and kill them all. And Jesus says, you're going to go out and you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to leave this room, you're going to walk out in your fear, and you're going to own what I'm asking you to own. But you don't have to do it in your own strength because I am going to strengthen you. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and that will be your anointing, and he will be with you, and he was with them. And most of those guys went out and were martyred because of their anointing. Again, your anointing is not about you. Your anointing is about the kingdom. God's anointing empowers my assignment, but God's anointing also makes the impossible possible. If you're coming to Bible study on Wednesday, I've been doing this since the summertime. We've been looking at the book of Mark, and we've been taking three or four verses at a time. And one of the things that's amazing about the book of Mark is the miracles that happen in the book of Mark. We're on chapter 8, and he's raised the dead, he's cast out demons, he's made the blind to see, he's made the deaf to hear, he's made the dumb to speak. The anointing makes the impossible possible. God can do stuff you and I would never be able to do. This is a big deal. Because your spiritual maturity and your kingdom pursuits, you're going to come up against insurmountable problems. You just are. I've been pastor here just finishing up my 19th year. I can count on one finger when we have not had to skimp and scrape and get by financially. One year, this church was down to $34,000 total assets in the bank. Ron Burton had put resumes out to local banking institutions because he was going to go bivocational because there just wasn't enough to pay him, he thought. And God has always come through. He makes the impossible possible. And we're going to need his anointing. When I'm reading the book by Keller about sheep, he talks about the annoyance that comes to the sheep. And it usually comes in the form of flies. And they like to lay eggs in the mucous membranes of the nostrils of the flies. And those eggs will hatch and the larva will make their way into the soft tissue in and around the head and the face and the eyes. And for the sheep to find comfort or to get relief, they will go around just banging their heads again and again and again on the ground, on the rocks, on the trees, any place. Sometimes they'll bang them on each other. But once the oil is applied, and once the shepherd makes the balm and the salve, and he puts it on the head of the sheep, there is an immediate change in their behavior. And the aggravation diminishes. And the frenzy is gone. And the irritability goes away. And the restlessness ceases. Because the sheep has allowed the shepherd to anoint his head with the balm that protects him from the irritant. Keller goes on to say that the sheep start to feed quietly again in their green pastures, and soon they lie down in peaceful contentment. Let me ask you this morning, what annoyances in your life have you banging your head? Jesus straight up told the listeners in Luke chapter 18, what is impossible with men is possible with God. How does the Christ follower face death? If your loved ones would have been on the helicopter that Kobe Bryant was on, and you'd have lost a spouse and a child, how would you pick up the pieces and begin moving forward without Christ? It would seem almost insurmountable. How do you face disease? How do you survive divorce? How do you make it through Harvey? I don't know if you watched the Grammys the other night, but Demi Lovato came out and sang a song about the pain and the suffering and about why isn't anybody listening to me and why doesn't my message seem to make a difference? And she's banging her head. And in an interview, she talks about, I was looking for self-assurance in all of the wrong places. And if you continue to listen, she's still looking for self-assurance in all of the wrong places. What is impossible with men is possible with God. How do you do the right thing when it is not the popular thing? You do it through the anointings of the Holy Spirit. Again, the book of Ephesians. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. I don't know about you, but I can ask or imagine a lot. And the scripture says that he can do immeasurably more than I can even ask or imagine. According to his power that is at work, say it with me, within us. His power at work within us. We need each other. To him be the glory in the church, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. The church is here to help you when you're banging your head. The church is here to point you to the God who can help you find the anointment, and the good shepherd can provide the balm to remove the irritants from your life. You say, well, he didn't help Paul much. Paul went to him 3 times and said, I got this thing and it won't go away. And yet, Paul still said, his grace is sufficient for me. Why? Because every time whatever this infirmity had that would begin to rise up in Paul, Jesus wouldn't take it away, but he always made it bearable. Jesus didn't take it away, but he always made it so that Paul could navigate around it. It's like the sin that we're tempted with. It comes at us hard and fast every single day. And the temptation of the sin is not the sin. It is giving into the sin that is the sin. And so the sin's going to come at you hard and fast every single day. But every single day, the anointing is there to rise up within you to stop that. It can be. It should be. Your anointing is not determined by your proficiency in Christ. Your anointment is determined by your proximity to Christ. Your anointment is not determined by how much Bible you know or how intellectually you think about the things of Jesus. Your anointment is determined by how close you live and walk with the shepherd. Because if you're at the far end of the meadow and he can't get to you with the balm or the anointment, he can't help you with life's irritants and his anointments and its annoyances. Your anointment is not about your proficiency in Christ. I have a friend, smart, probably read the Bible more times through than I have, except he uses the scripture as the foundation for his antagonism to the things of God. You may know people like that. And he looks for every glitch and every hiccup and every nuance and everything that appears to be not completely square. And he bases his arguments anti-God on those things. Oh, he is proficient in the Word. He is proficient in the New Testament. He is proficient in the teachings of Christ. But his proximity to Jesus is far, far away. The balm is there. He just won't come to the shepherd. It is the power of what he can do that makes the difference. Third, God's anointing on me is so that I might be a blessing to other people. I'll say it again. God's anointing is not about your prosperity, but others being blessed through your anointing. And until the TV preachers begin to figure this out, and until the regular preachers begin to figure this out, until the people that sit in the pew begin to figure this out, the church is always going to be second-class citizens. We want his anointing. But we want his anointing so that we can be blessed. The blessings come as a byproduct of our ministering. The blessings come as a byproduct of our fulfilling his responsibility and his goal and his kingdom. Mother Teresa, let me take you back to all of the disciples. God's anointing is not about our prosperity, it's about others being blessed through the anointing that he has given us. God blesses you so that you can be a blessing to other people. God doesn't give you money or talent or good looks or abilities or opportunities or networks simply for your benefit. He wants you to use those things to bless other people. Isaiah taught this millennia before Christ arrived on the scene. Isaiah speaks in Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." Jesus, at one of his first recorded events in the temple, in Luke chapter 4, he went to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of the sight of the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The young people would say this is the ultimate theological mic drop. I'm here to preach the good news to the poor. I'm here to bind up the brokenhearted. I'm here to proclaim freedom to the captives. I'm here to release the prisoner from darkness. I'm here to proclaim the Lord's favor. I'm here to say that the day of God's vengeance is coming. I'm here to comfort those who mourn. I'm to provide those who grieve. I am here to bring beauty for ashes. This is who I am. This is what I've come to do. And today the scripture has been fulfilled that you've been reading about in Isaiah your whole life. I am that person. I'm here and I'm anointed to bless other people. The passage has been fulfilled right in front of you. I'm the answer. I'm the Savior. I'm the one to comfort the afflicted. David recognizes the anointing of the Good Shepherd and he says, "You have prepared a king's table for me, just between you and me for my enemies to see. It is on the field where I am fighting the battles of my life, and your banner of love flies over me. It is at this place, in this moment, I receive your anointing. I receive the power on which my assignment rests to get back to the battlefield. I receive my anointing face to face in faith and courage so that I can take on the uncomfortable and the impossible. I receive the anointing so that others may be inspired to trust the shepherd." Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, "Now it is God who makes us, or both us, you, and stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He set His seal of ownership upon us. He put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come." What does David say comes next? "You anoint my head with oil," David said, and here's what comes next. "My cup runs over." And that's what the anointing brings. The anointing brings a full cup of courage, a full cup of back to the assignment, a full cup of overcoming the impossible, a full cup of inspiring other people. Next week we talk about the cup that runs over. But today, the question has to be asked, are you depending on an anointing because of your proficiency in Christ? Or are you depending on an anointing because of your proximity to Christ? You cannot study enough to gain the anointing if that study doesn't move you to the presence of the Shepherd.